broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bathroom.
No, windowless bunker. We are broadcasting from a windowless bunker. This is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and we are live on the air, and we got a couple people here with me today. We have Garrett Fox. What is your wrestling animal name there, Garrett Fox?
I'm the Freedom Fox.
The Freedom Fox. And Nick Hazelton, do we have a name for you yet? It's got to have something to do with yaks, right?
Oh, yeah.
The Young Yak. Like,
yeah, that's good.
Okay, the Young Yak.
The Hazy Yak.
The Hazy Yak. I like that, too.
Yeah.
All right, so what? Tell me a little bit about yourself, Garrett, for our listeners. You haven't been on in a while, I don't think, on a weekend.
It's been a while, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
So I'm just a little F fiend turned capital F fiend, if you will. Been a fan of the show for quite some time. I feel like I've gone on the journey along with you, Michael Dean, into this wonderful world of liberty.
Yeah. If you listen to this show long enough, you'll end up in the band. It's kind of like that movie Rockstar. You ever seen that movie?
No.
With the guy that used to be Marky Mark. What's his name? Mark Wahlberg. Where he's like a fan of some metal band and their singer quits. And, you know, huge like stadium metal band. And he plays in a cover band of that band in bars. And then, the singer quits and they like pull him out of the audience and audition him later and make him, you know, so all of a sudden he goes from like garage band to singing in his favorite band. So that's kind of you.
That's a perfect analogy. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, man. Yep. So you are, you've gone from the audience to the stage. And you too, Nick. Nick is apprenticing on radio. He's in third chair, or as we call it, third wheel. And he's working on a merit badge for his charter school, where he's getting credit for being on radio. But we like him. He called in one night and we were like, hey man, we're giving away microphones this week. You've got one. And now he's doing a podcast called Anarcho-Yakitalism, and it's an-yak.com. If you want to check out Anarcho-Yakitalism, this guy is smart. What's up, Nick? What grade are you in, and what do you do for, what's your hobby? What kind of farmer are you?
I'm 15, and I'm going to be a sophomore next year, and I raise yaks.
You raise yaks? That's, like, so weird, man. I mean, that's, I don't even know what to say to that. That's, I mean, I live in Wyoming, and I've seen camel farms here, and I've seen bison farm, and you told me there's a yak farm in my town, but, I've never seen it. What, yaks, man? What are yaks?
Yaks are related to cows. They're slightly different. You can crossbreed them, so they are definitely related, and they look pretty similar. I'd say American yaks, at least we have here in the States, are a bit smaller, about the size of a large pony. They've got pretty big horns, got a nice hunchback.
Yeah,
they kind of look like buffalo.
Yeah, they kind of look like water buffalo, but weirder, right?
Yeah, weirder. They're a lot prettier, I think.
Yeah, are you gonna eat them? You gonna raise them?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm gonna raise them, eat them, sell them.
Wow.
Get hair, hopefully milk.
That is, let's see, what
yak milk.
Yeah, yak milk. I'm trying to think what I did for money raising ideas when I was 15. I think I still had a lemonade stand at that point. I don't know, man. You have a yak milk stand, although the government will crush you like a bug if you try to. I don't know. I don't want to say that. Have you been following, though, you guys? Have you been following all the, like, government crackdowns on farmers and food co-ops and things?
How can you not follow it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of disturbing and saddening and mind-blowing. Do you guys, anybody got that thing up? Where is that thing? We should cover this tomorrow. Michigan food dump meant to send us a message. Let me read a little bit of this from CompletePatient.com, Business of Your Health. The government-sponsored dump of $5,000 worth of milk, eggs, butter, and cream from Michigan's My Family Co-op yesterday carried a political and very powerful message to all Americans. We, the government, control your food, and we don't like you buying food outside of the corporate food system. Every now and then, we're going to remind you, you are bad children, and we are taking food away and throwing it in the garbage. And this is what they did. They took food from this, unregulated it was basically like neighbors helping neighbors kind of thing. You know, something that's been going on forever. My dad was a farmer. My mother, you know, and like their parents were farmers on both sides of the family in New York State, upstate New York, and in Nebraska. And I remember being like, my dad's 93 and he grew up in the Great Depression, and he was one of these, like, I mean, he wouldn't beat you if you didn't finish your food, but he was very, like, sternly, like, you must finish your food. There are people starving in the world. And that wasn't just some, like, random, like, he had grown up almost starving, like, on a farm where, like, if you have a lean year, you know, you don't eat. And so it wasn't just, oh, you know, someone's parroting that. It's like, you know, he's the generation that people are parroting when they say that. And I remember when I was a kid in the 60s or very early 70s, seeing on the TV news farmers dumping their own milk down gutters. And it was because the government had stopped subsidizing these farms or stopped giving them welfare, you know, corporate welfare, farm subsidies. And they were dumping milk down a gutter. And I was like, but dad and mom say that it's a sin to waste food. You know, it just blew my mind. I was like, Wait, and the Vietnam War on TV were like my first inklings of the government might not be good. And then, you know, when Nixon was caught lying, I am not a crook, then I was really, but mommy, isn't the president supposed to be the bestest, smartest man in the world? And my mom said, it's complicated, son. Like a bad relationship with the president. It's complicated. Like America, everybody has a bad relationship with their, complicated relationship with their governance. So, what do you guys think about this this increasing thing of governments coming in and finding peaceful or people who are voluntarily selling and bargaining and trading and co-opting together with neighborhood small farms and, you know, getting food to the people who eat food, which is people everywhere, governments like taking the food and like fining the people and destroying the food and then fining the farmers for the food. What do you guys think of that?
Well, real quick, but I wanted to just interject because of the fact that I used to be part of one of these food co-ops, and it was really weird how it was almost kind of scary when you would go to pick up the food because you weren't quite sure if somebody was going to be there that day with the little wrist warmers waiting to grab you for picking up some raw milk or some grass-fed steaks or some brown eggs that are actually good for you and haven't gone through the whole pasteurization process and all that nasty stuff. And it felt kind of sketchy.
Yeah. So it's kind of like going to when people go to buy drugs, going to the drug dealer's house. Like, is he going to get raided today?
Yeah. Just instead of a dark alley, we were meeting on a farm.
Man. Yeah. My dad grew up, I was drinking raw milk as a kid, not at home, but, you know, because my parents had moved from the farm to a small town by the time I was born. But we'd go visit my grandma or my aunt, and they would have raw milk on the table, like with the cream on the top of it. And I drank it as a kid. My dad drank it his whole life as a kid. You know, it was all he drank as a kid, you know, when he lived on a farm, probably till he was 40 and moved off a farm. And, you know, he lived in 93, so it won't kill you, apparently. So, Nick, what say you, Nick?
Well, I am a farmer, and I think it's terrible what these people are doing.
Yeah, man.
My sister has dairy goats. We drink the milk, and it is raw. It tastes great, and it's awesome. But it's really disappointing to know that we probably couldn't sell that because people would do this. The government would come after us. But I do think that Oregon is a pretty lenient state when it comes to that. But there is a case that in this article that you read that the FDA did come after a farm in Oregon, a dairy, because they were feeding their cheese to their farm animals. And I do that with my pigs. Right. Now, I probably shouldn't say that, but now they're going to come after me.
Maybe the central scrutinizer sits around. I would not be surprised at this point if I don't think the Freedom Fiends are an important enough show yet that there's someone whose full time job is to listen to everything on here. But I'll bet, you know, GCN or LRN are two networks. I'll bet there's somebody assigned to one of those or both of those, you know, who monitor all day long what's going out. And I don't know. I haven't had my door kicked in yet. I'm waiting. No.
Go ahead and try.
No, I'm peaceful, man. But, yeah, so, Nick, how Did you just recently become a farmer, or were you a farmer before you got yaks? Like, are your parents farmers?
They were produce farmers for a while when I was young. Kind of stopped, and just recently I brought the animals back. I've done 4-H for almost my whole life.
Oh, excellent. You do 4-H. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what kind of skills do you learn in 4-H?
Patience, taking care of animals. It's really hard to get something that you can't communicate with to get what you want.
To do your bidding? Yeah, I think politicians feel that way about us.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Because they want
to... That's why we're called sheep.
That's why we're sheep on their farm waiting to be milked for taxes, and they want us compliant. And yeah, but we can think and talk back and use microphones, and they really don't like that. So, did you ever read the book Animal Farm?
Yeah.
The a great book written by... Was it George Orwell? I don't want to get this wrong. But yeah, it's a book, an old novel... about some pigs and sheep and cats taking over a farm because they don't like how the farmer treats them. And then and they, you know, try to turn it into some people's paradise, and then it becomes its own tyranny. And it's an allegory to the Russian Revolution, but it's also just an allegory to government and tyranny and power in general. And anytime somebody says that, you know, we need to, like, basically, unless the people are libertarian, ANCAPs are voluntarists who want to bring more freedom, literally, and, you know, have far less government to the point where it drowns itself in a bathtub. Any politician that says, vote for me and I'll set you free, and tries to, you know, like, really, you think about it, like, every politician wants to control you. And once, even if they don't, even if they have good motives, once they're in, man, it's like Nima Vedati said, the day after the revolution, all radicals become conservatives. They want to keep things their way with them in power once they get in. And it just grows like a festering sheep disease. All right, we'll be back with more after this trip to the free market.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. You know, without the Star Trek communicator, we wouldn't have cell phones or computers that fit in your pocket. Because envisioning the future is the first step to real groundbreaking changes in our lifetime. That's why I love Scott Beezer's webcomic, Quantum Vibe. Quantum Vibe has allowed me to more clearly envision LibPair, or Libertarian Paradise, and help me work toward it. Who'll build the roads? You and me. Who'll draw up the blueprints? Scott Beezer in Quantum Vibe at BigHeadPress.com. That's BigHeadPress.com.
Looking for a new home with good neighbors, no income tax, an active shooting culture with excellent Second Amendment protections, a great business climate, and less government? Then Wyoming might just be the place for you. And freedom-minded folks are already there. Founded by author Kenneth Royce, FreeStateWyoming.org encourages free trade, political liberty, and voluntary cooperation. Come bask in the laissez-faire Western culture of the cowboy state. For details, visit FreeStateWyoming.org.
Good morning, Alamogordo. This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. And we'd like to welcome a new station today. I am always so happy when we welcome a new station because it's new people and new friends and new listeners. And it is KRSY, 1230 a.m. in Alamogordo. I love saying that word, Alamogordo. I hope I'm saying it correctly, but I think it's going to become my vocal warm-up word because it's so fun to roll off the tongue. And Alamogordo, New Mexico is, I guess somewhere in Tennessee says they're the home of the A-bomb, but Alamogordo is where they tested the A-bomb, the Trinity tests, back in 1945. And it's also home of the the Atari. Okay, everyone who's listening is probably going, oh, not this again. This is what, why are we known for this? The video game archaeologists travel to Alamogordo. Now, let me say that again. Video game archaeologists. Because the Atari video game company in the 80s buried millions of unsold video games there in a landfill. And apparently some people in Alamogordo are not too happy about that because they were basically being a dumping ground for Texas, which is heresy because, you know, Texas and New Mexico. But yeah, and then like it's, you know, they poured like concrete over it so it could never be accessed again. But it's been accessed and video game archaeologists go there.
I want to thank them for their service.
Yeah, the video game archaeologists. There's actually a great picture of that. It's yeah, they look like you'd picture they look. They look like hipsters with shovels and safety vests on. Okay, so but Alamogordo, same time zone as us here in Wyoming. Same kind of mountain west. Well, flatter, mountainer. I don't know. So I just want to welcome Alamogordo, KRSY. 12:30 a.m. Okay, going back to the tyranny parade, what do you got for us? Nick is going to read a little article, a short article we found here. Go ahead, Nick.
Yeah, so this is an article about the prohibition of cell phones while driving.
Where is this from, first of all? Oh, Capitalism is Freedom, right?
.com, yeah.
Yep. Go ahead.
Very good website. All right, so drivers using their phones at the wheel does not affect the number of crashes, according to the results of a recent study. Researchers at the University of Colorado looked at more than a million accidents over 6 years on highways in California and found that a state ban had not reduced the number of collisions. The researchers chose a window of 6 months before and after the ban to eliminate other factors such as the production of safer cars, the recession, and changes in other traffic laws. The results appear to contradict previous research, which suggests using a phone at the wheel is as dangerous as drinking or as drunk driving. 13 states currently ban handheld cell phone use for all drivers, and 10 other state laws have some sort of ban, either just for younger drivers, a ban in school zones, or as a local option.
Wow.
The findings published in the journal Transportation Research said, "We find no evidence of a statewide decrease in accidents as a result of the ban. While our results are specific to California, cell phone bans in other jurisdictions that have similar enforcement and penalty parameters could be expected to have similar effects." And I think that's it.
Wow. What do you think, Garrett?
Well, it just goes to show that banning something, it's not going to change anything. If somebody's got to make a phone call because they're running late for a meeting or something, they're going to pick up their phone and they're going to call. They're not going to bother with all the fancy little gadgets, the Bluetooth and all that stuff to be able to do whatever this hands-free thing is. As far as I'm concerned, these laws come into play just for any other reason, and it's to build revenue.
And control,
It's just one more excuse for the men in blue to pull you over and say, "Hey, you know, I saw you talking on your cell phone there." Meanwhile, they were probably talking on their cell phone.
I've seen cops like talking on their cell phone while driving and checking their little computer all at the same time. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually not illegal in Wyoming, where I am situated, to use a cell phone yet while driving, but they do steal a lot of tax money to put ads on TV to tell you not to do it. And then I see cops doing it all the time anyway. But, you know, police are the only ones, which is a meme that's based on that video of the cop, of the drug cop, the DEA cop in some public school saying, "I'm the only one professional enough in this room to be able to use this Glock 40. And then he shoots himself in the foot, literally. That's a video. Search it. Look it up on YouTube, people. Search drug cop shoot self in foot. We'll be back with more on the Freedom Fiends. Shiny badges do not grant extra rights.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
What sets Survival Punk apart from all those other survivalist sites? A rational, creative approach to self-reliance. Applying a punk DIY ethic to survivalism without any of the fear-mongering or tinfoil hattery that pervades the survivalist movement. Survival Punk covers a huge range of topics, along with a healthy bit of myth-busting. Survival Punk provides a ton of dirt-cheap creative solutions to common prepping problems, with an accent on the paleo lifestyle. Check out survivalpunk.com. That's survivalpunk.com.
When I found the Free State Project, I knew it was the key to achieving liberty in my lifetime. It's awesome to be surrounded by like-minded, freedom-loving activists who've moved here to New Hampshire. From politics to civil disobedience, we have it all. Where I came from, it felt that no matter what I did, liberty was dying. Perhaps you feel the same way? Call 888-377-2515 now to learn more about the Free State Project. That's 888-377-2515 or visit freestateproject.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And I'm talking, this is Mr. Michael Dean. I am talking here with Nick Hazelton and Garrett Fox. Are you still well, gentlemen? Did you survive the break? Did you get through it?
We made it.
Cool.
I survived.
Well, yeah, this is, I mean, there's so much information to hear there about all our good sponsors. And, you know, I know we're all busy writing it down and going to websites on the World Wide Web. You know, I love how they don't have to say anymore. Do you guys remember radio ads, you know, from the like mid-90s to the end of the 90s where they would say, check out our, log on to our website at http://www.freedomfiends.com. Do you guys remember that?
Sure.
No.
You don't?
Looks like
Nick's too young.
No, I don't.
Wait,
yeah, I'm
what year? Young. What year were you born, Nick?
98.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mean, I'm not sorry. I'm just like, I'm sorry for not considering that in my math. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't be sorry because I think it kind of means I think of you as an adult because you're pretty smart and you know, I forget that you're 15 and you're working on your radio merit badge at your charter school. But you want to do radio and you do a podcast, right?
Yes.
Yep. It's called
Anarcho-Yakitalism,
which is a takeoff on anarcho-capitalism, which is capitalism. You know, a small government people talk about, you know, we want to get the government out of the way. And anarcho-yakitalists and anarcho-capitalists are just those of us who, you know, we want to take it to the point of like, hey, why even have it? People can take care of themselves. And if they don't, everyone's got a gun and everyone can have private property. And, you know, it would not be blood in the streets. It might be for the first couple days, but you know, I think that the scumbags would be gone and water would reach its own level. And people who actually want to work for a living would work for a living. And people that wanted to not work for a living would either starve in a ditch or be shot in a robbery or, you know, maybe people that like are incapable of working, people that are disabled would probably be taken care of by, you know, churches, private, charities, families, friends, et cetera. And, you know, everybody would have 8 times as much money as we do and as much buying power without the government. So that's a fact. Look it up, people. Google it. Do your research. That's what people always say when they don't want to back things up with facts. I'm citing someone there. It's a writer named L. Neil Smith. Google him, and then you'll immediately find he's a sci-fi writer. And you'll say, why would a sci-fi writer be able to speak to what would happen if government wasn't around? But hey, you know, science fiction of today is science fact of tomorrow. You know, that's why cell phones look like the Star Trek communicators from the 60s TV show. We're gonna say, Garrett.
Nothing. I was just agreeing with you there, and I was gonna lead right into the whole cell phone thing and the, you know, the 3D printers that are coming out and everything.
Yeah. You okay? What do you do for a living, there, Garrett?
Okay, well, for a living, I'm just basically, I've actually moved up in the world since my previous job. I don't know. I know we were talking about it a little while ago. I got laid off, and I basically got thrown off of a sinking ship of a company in swimming distance to a cruise liner.
Nice.
That's the analogy that I've been using. So
that's great.
Yeah. And so basically, I just go around to different job sites now and make sure that the BIM process, which stands for Building Information Model or Building Information
Management. Wait. Back up a minute.
Sure.
What field do you work in? Like, before you get into the technical aspects of the subtree of the subtree of the sub-branch of the leaf you're hanging out on at work, what field are we talking about?
Basically construction.
Okay.
Architects, engineers, and construction. So they call it the AEC industry. And I'm on the tech side of it. I go out to job sites, but my vest is nice and clean and shiny, and I'm wearing khakis with, you know,
they hate you. You're the guy that the people who do the real work go, ugh, and put their nose up at you because you spend most of your time in the office and then come out and poke around on the job site with a pencil and say, oh, this has to be changed.
Well, okay, 5 or 6 years ago, yes, I would have had a clipboard and a pencil and a pen, but now we have iPads. So, okay. But yeah, you're right. People look at me kind of funny. They're like, oh, no, you know, somebody's going to get in trouble for something today, la-da-da-da-da. But I basically just make sure the building is being kept up to the schedule and the standards that are supposed to be there for the, you know, before, you know, we work on a lot of schools, so we got to make sure everything's ready to go before the school's season starts. So, you know, the kids aren't delayed and goes into their summer and all that stuff.
And make the schools so the kids can't get out of them. So they're like prisons, because that's what public schools are like. And, you know, they probably could be turned into prisons in a pinch. And, you know, so I've been watching this show, The Wire, and a frequent thing that happens in there that actually happens in big cities sometimes is they use school buses for mass arrests of people. You know, they just get them on the school bus and take them away to the new concentration camps. I mean, the prisons, the jails for, you know, things that aren't really crimes, like selling herbs or raw milk. So, so you do computer aided drafting still?
Yes.
CAD. You're a CAD.
Well, yeah, exactly. Right. And it's really cool, too, because I'm sort of the authority figure at this new company I'm working for in that CAD world.
So you're the man.
Kind of.
Now, see, there's nothing. Here's the mistake I made when I was younger and didn't figure out until I was a little older. There's nothing wrong with an authority figure if it's a voluntary situation you've entered, like a job, and they're, hey, paying you to, right, you know, take orders from someone or take direction from someone. What is unacceptable is, you know, things like governments and police bossing you around for things that shouldn't be regulated, like, you know, trading food with your neighbors who are also farmers, or, you know, selling it to the hipsters that come in from town because they want to go to the fresh farm.
Right.
That's wrong. And when I was a kid, I conflated those two things, and I thought everyone was the man. And then I grew up and, you know, kind of bummed around and was in a rock and roll band for a while, and it was pretty cool, and I made some money at it and got signed to a major label and then got dropped off a major label and then had a big drug habit and then kicked my drug habit, and I've been sober for 20 years now. I've been reinventing myself as a self-employed writer, filmmaker, and radio host, and it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot of work, and it took a lot of discipline. I had to really learn discipline. But I still have structured my life in a way that I don't really have the man in my life except for the government. You know, I don't have to answer to anybody, but wow, you're the guy people answer to now. That's pretty outrageous.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I was being walked around the office, kind of introduced to all the different foremen and, you know, the actual contractors and stuff out there where, you know, they're, you know, 10 years my senior, and I'm being introduced as their, not necessarily a boss, but the go-to guy when
the project leader
issues. Yeah, it's neat.
Yeah, I prefer that kind of term and that kind of structure of companies, too, where there's project leaders rather than the boss. And personally, I could see the point of things like that that have job security and go on for a long time and you get benefits and perks. But I've always gone for the working intensely with smart people who aren't even necessarily in the same physical location on a project. I don't have a job. I do a lot of jobs. You know, I do a lot of projects.
that end. But I tend to look to those same people again when I'm doing my next project. And, you know, people talk like in the media biz, in the real Hollywood biz, you know, people are always critical of like, oh, there's so much nepotism. You know, you have to know the right people, or, you know, they always go with who they worked with before. And I'm like, nepotism isn't necessarily a bad thing. And it's also like, you know, somebody's vouching for somebody when they say, yeah, hire my cousin or whatever. And furthermore, you know, doing a long-term or short-term intense job, it's 100-hour work weeks on something that's very skilled, like media production, it's like going to war, man, trying to do it on budget, on time, and make it great. I mean, it's I wouldn't say it's like going to war, but it's like the, you know, military level of complexity to where you want to go into battle with the person that was in battle with you before, and you're more likely to go into battle with somebody who, you know, covered your back in the last battle and did it well than somebody who's coming in who has, you know, better on paper, you know, qualifications or certificates.
Not to mention, you can hit the ground running. You already know this person. You know what their skills, what their strong points are, what their weak points are. So you can kind of bypass all that, like, oh, nice to meet you. Yeah. Here's what we're going to do type stuff.
Which is one reason that we had Nick on here today. You know, when I, like, Ben Stone was supposed to be the host with me both days this weekend, and he canceled. And I scrambled. I went through our, you know, 12 co-hosts, started calling people up. And I've talked to Nick a bunch before, and I know that he's good and he's smart and he's quick on his feet. And as he said, in 4-H, you learn patience. And Nick hasn't, we haven't let him talk here in about 5 minutes. Are you still there, Nick?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right. So go on there with your bad CAD self, your computer aided drawing self, Garrett. Tell me more.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's basically all there is to it with the working thing, that, you know, the getting the paycheck, the paying the bills and everything. You know, it's very corporate and gets kind of boring at that point. I will be having to make a whole bunch of weird presentations and stuff to owners and architects of buildings to try and win their affection so that we get their projects and everything. So that's going to be interesting. I'm a little nervous about that portion of everything. But the real fun stuff comes on what I do from home when I get to make little three-dimensional models and actually print them out on a 3D printer. I know, Nick, you were asking when we were yakking back and forth via the emails asking about 3D printing. And one of the number one questions I always get from people when I start talking about this is, what are you going to do with it? And I found a really good example this morning that I thought I would share here. It's an article about a six-year-old boy named Alex who got he was born with one arm. Basically, his right arm was missing from the shoulder down, and they couldn't afford the $40,000 prosthesis that he could easily grow out of in a couple of years. So some people got together, they saw his story, and they 3D printed him an arm, and it actually has components to it to where as he does grow older and, you know, his shoulder changes or whatever, they have different parts. So he doesn't have to print out an entire new arm. He can just print out the other parts of this arm. And it's really cool. It doesn't look like a weird robot Terminator arm. It's a nice, clean little plastic arm. And they made the CAD files available online for anybody else in a similar situation.
Excellent. We'll be back with more about computer printing of arms and arms like guns when we get back on the Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to announce the second annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It's at the Circle Pine Center just outside Kalamazoo, Friday, August 22nd through Monday, August 25th. There will be family and grown-up friendly activities, great conversation, presentations, and bacon. Lots of bacon. It doesn't matter if you're an OG libertarian, a newbie, or just anarcho-curious. Come on out and enjoy some voluntarism. For more information, go to miplc.org.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write worms in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Meow. Give me a worms, guys.
Worms.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and if you want to know why we say worms and why we meow, you can go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link that says glossary, because we've kind of made up our, not our own language, but our own vocabulary with a lot of things here after 3.5 years of doing the show. And the show started with a guy named Nima Vidati, and then he went off to have kids with his wife. They had a kid, and he didn't have enough time to do the show, so he left, and we've replaced him with a gang, which is of 12 people who rotate, and they spin and take turns. And today we have Garrett Fox and Nick Hazelton. Nick Hazelton. And I've noticed, though, Nima Vidati, who was too busy to do the show, sure has been being interviewed on a lot of other people's shows lately. He's been finding time for that.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that?
All of a sudden, he has time now.
Yeah. Like, he's been on Nick's show. He's been on Bernie's show. He hasn't? Oh,
no,
I thought he has.
Not yet. Okay.
Not yet. No, but that's scheduled. But you have it scheduled. You have it scheduled, don't you?
No, I don't, actually.
But you've asked him. You've asked him, and he's. I'll bet you've asked him, and he said he'll do it, huh?
I don't remember. I've asked a lot of people.
Okay, actually. Well, he made your theme song. He found time to do that.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. So we're talking about. I love you, Nima, and if you ever find time to do the show, you can come back and be at the end of the queue. And when other people aren't available, I'll call you. That's what you got to do, man. You walk out the door, you got to go back to the beginning. You know, it's on The Simpsons. There's one where Homer quits his job in a huff and then decides to come back for his family. And he comes back to apply for a job. And there's a door that says applicants. And Smithers says, Mr. Burns says, oh, no, you quit. You have to use that door. And it's next to the applicant's door. There's a little like cat door, like, you know, you have to get on your knees and crawl through it. And instead of applicants, it says supplicants. All right. So we were talking about jobs. Garrett's job is doing computer aided drafting, which is basically like, you know, what architects used to do with paper and pen before these computers came along and took all their jobs. No, it didn't take their jobs. It helps their jobs. And you're talking about 3D printing stuff. Now, can't people make guns with this? Isn't this dangerous? Shouldn't this be regulated?
Yeah, I mean, but people can make guns other stuff.
Did you say, yeah, it should be regulated?
I was agreeing with the fact that you can make guns.
Yeah, yes. I'm joking, doing my, oh my God, scared, scared citizen voice, because we've actually had the guy, Cody Wilson, who invented the 3D printed gun. We've had him on this show about 4 times. So, and, we like him. We're not afraid of technology. And yeah, you know, the thing is, that whole thing was really just a political movement. Like, it was a piece of political theater, because anybody can go into their garage and make a better gun out of things they probably have in their garage.
Yeah.
Than that 3D printed gun is, but you know, it doesn't look as cool. That thing, the 3D printed gun, kind of looks like something you'd spray fertilizer on your lawn with. Something you'd attach to your hose, doesn't it?
It's certainly not like intimidating. If somebody was pointing that at me, I'd think it was like a Nerf gun or something.
Yeah, it looks like a toy gun. There you go. So tell me more about computer-aided drafting and how it can help, and 3D printing. So if you haven't figured this out yet, computer-aided drafting is what you draw, and it used to be what they looked at to build the thing. Now, with some prototyping, with simpler and smaller things, you can do the computer-aided drafting and feed that into a 3D printer, which prints the parts out with plastic, and then you can put them together. And actually, like, you can draw a thing and then print a thing, not just print an image. So,
and not to mention, you can make virtual prototypes. And if you know, there's moving components involved in it, you can test the fillet radiuses of your moving parts to make sure the outer diameter and the inner diameter aren't going to like interfere with each other. So before you even go to the production and physical prototyping end of things, you can work out all these different little kinks and stuff that you might run into as you're trying to assemble something, you know, on your little workshop station there.
Yeah, and that was the, like, the first adopters of 3D printers, when they cost $50,000 each, was companies that would prototype with them. And now that they cost $500 each, you know, it's like paper printers were, you know, a decade ago or something.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, 15 years ago. 20 years ago. All right. So 3D printing, friend or foe? Give us your final word here, Garrett.
It's a very good friend. One on every desk.
Yep. Technology. It's good. Don't fear it, people. Unless it's in the hands of governments. Because they'll always do bad stuff with it. You know, when I was a little kid, I watched the moon launch when I was five in 1969. And I was really impressed. And I was like, this is great. This will lead to flying cars. No, it led to flying drones that spy on you and drop bombs on wedding parties and kill a bunch of people. See?
That's so square.
Government turns everything into war. All governments, not just this government. Every government in history lives from theft, fraud, aggression, and force.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, pie sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $5 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Meow, meow, meow.
Meow.
This is Mr. Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live and worldwide through a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural, wild, mountain west in the occupied states of America. And for those of you participating in the Freedom Fiends distance learning media series and learning radio, if I sound a little wonky and weird right now, it's because I or somebody else, I think, hit the cuss dump build while the music was going. And it doesn't work well on music. It makes it sound wonky and sped up and weird. So if that's what you're hearing, that's because I think I hit the cuss dump too quick. And I, you know, there's a rule on radio, an unspoken rule. You never point out mistakes. There's a rule on the Freedom Fiends. You always point out mistakes because we are trying to train the next generation of Liberty broadcasters. Because I'm 50. I'm 50. And I'm not going to be around forever. I'm not going anywhere this week. But, you know, I'll probably live to be old because my dad's 93 and he's still healthy and I have half of his genes. So I think I'll probably get senile or just too cranky to be on radio. I mean, I know cranky is a good thing on radio, but I'm just going to get to the point at some point within a few years, probably, where I'm like, wow, my cats are looking at me funny. Ah! And like, no one wants to hear that for 2 hours. So, you know, I'm training my replacements here, and we got Garrett Fox. How old are you, Garrett Fox?
29. I had to think about it for a second.
And we got, then that's the next generation. Then we got the next generation. It's like Star Trek. Nick Hazelton, how old are you?
Almost 16.
Wow. What month is your birthday?
August.
Cool, man. So we're trying to train people here to do radio, and we want to talk about podcasting because podcasting is a good way to get into radio. You know, for anyone who doesn't know, who's been living in a cave, you know, down the street from Bin Laden, and doesn't know what's going on, Although that horrible guy, he had internets. Actually, I think he did some podcasting, or at least he recorded some things and had people play them back later in an undisclosed location. But he was a bad guy. We're good guys. So if you want to do podcasting, basically what podcasting is like doing a radio show. It's usually spoken like this in the format of a radio show, you know, with some music and some intros and outros if you want to get fancy. And you record it as best you can, which is the most important part that I want to talk about and teach people to do, because most people don't do they don't do it right. They go on Google Hangouts and video chat with their friends with cheap little headsets, and it looks like a bunch of people checking their email. You don't even need the video. It doesn't add anything. And I don't like to do it with the video because you can't multitask and watch video and listen to audio. You know, you can't, or you shouldn't drive a car while watching video. You should but you can totally drive a car, do dishes, drive out to the gun range, go take care of your yaks, build a yurt, paint a self-portrait. You can do all that stuff while listening to audio, which is the beauty of it, man. And I've been podcasting since almost its inception. It came out in 2004, and really, like, nobody other than a couple people were doing it until about 2005. I started doing it in 2006. And my dream was to be on radio. That's always been my dream since I was a little kid. When I was like 10 or 11, I used to build little FM radio transmitters that, you know, broadcast like 100 feet. Like, before you could buy a Mr. Microphone, I was building a Mr. Microphone. And I don't know if anyone ever heard me, but the thought that they could was important to me. You know, I wanted to speak to the world. I wanted to get out of my little town, at least get my thoughts out of my little town, my little small world that I'd been born into that I didn't have any control over. And I wanted to control it and make, you know, control my destiny, basically, is what I was trying to do. So both of you have done podcasting. Nick is still doing podcasting. Garrett podcast for a while and then did what's called a pod fade. He pod faded, which is where you start doing it really hard and like hitting it hard and doing it often and then just kind of do it less and less until you don't do it anymore. And then you forget to pay your domain registration and you lose your website. So let's talk about that first, and then we'll talk about Nick, who's doing it successfully and I think is not going to pod fade. So Garrett, go ahead and talk about your experience with pod fading.
This is like one of your favorite subjects. I think I was cursed from the start because I didn't even know what pod fading was until you brought it to my attention.
I didn't curse you. You can't blame me. And it's one of my favorite subjects because podcasting is one of my favorite subjects. And I think there should be more people doing it. And I hope there's people listening who will want to do it. And I do have a website called creamyradioaudio.com, which has a lot of tips and tricks. But I'm actually working on notes for a book on podcasting. It's not going to be that long. It's going to be about 40 or 50 pages. I'll probably sell it on Kindle store for 99 cents or something like that. But it's going to be really good. And there's a lot of books out there on podcasting, but they're all horribly out of date and they're not written by me. So they're not that good. You actually bought a kit, which we called the Pod Fade 3000, yeah, which was a podcasting kit. Didn't it include a really old book on podcasting?
It came with like the software Audacity and stuff, and that was actually a gift to me that came at the perfect time because I tried to get this thing going with a cheap headset, and you know, me and my buddy were trying to figure out how we could get two USB headsets to work at the same time, and then as a Christmas present, I got this excellent little mixer USB to, you know, it had a USB interface in it. There was no preamps in it, so the audio quality wasn't quite there. They were cheap mics. But it got me into the habit of getting behind a microphone, and I've actually, you know, it's almost addicting once you start talking into a microphone and can hear yourself back. Now, unfortunately, on my end, that kit, it just didn't have the quality that I was looking for, especially when my podcasting sponsor is an audiophile, if you will.
Yeah. Well, so. The thing is, too, I've done a lot of research since then, and I've found the ultimate mic to recommend for people, and it's $55, and it's the Audio-Technica USB 2005. And if you go to the Freedom Fiend site and click over on the right sidebar, there's a link. There's a picture of a microphone. It says, get the great mic our co-hosts use. And Yeah, I mean, you guys sound like 85% as good as I do, and I'm using about $5,000 worth of gear, and you're using $55 worth of gear. You would sound even better if we weren't over Skype, and we have been experimenting with different software. Now, here's if there's anyone listening who is a computer programmer who wants to get involved in a project that's not doesn't pay, does not pay, and is going to be given away free when we're done. I know the total. I've figured out the total criteria we need for a Skype replacement that is for podcasting only, radio only. And if you want to do that, if you want to change the world, man, and you're a computer programmer, drop me an email at talkback@freedomfiends.com. That's freedom, foxtrot, echo, echo, November, Sierra.com. So, yeah, you got the PodFade 3000 and you weren't really ready yet. And I don't mean to pick on you because you were a very talented person, Garrett, in a lot of ways. And you do a lot of good in the world and you are very skilled. But the reason I like to point it out is like you're the perfect arm's length, reachable cautionary example with podcasting. And
it's funny you bring this up because we've actually launched and failed. Well, not I don't want to say failed, but we pod-faded again after like a mere 5 or 6 episodes because of the utilizing the Google Hangout thing and being stuck to a live schedule and everything. I think the main thing I've learned over these few years of doing this type of stuff is to have a plan and like and stick to it. Find your niche. If you're going to do news and that type of stuff, you have to be current and stay on top of everything. But if you're doing something more like what Nick's doing with philosophy, you can take a step back and plan your course of action ahead of time, and it's not so time sensitive and whatnot. So that's really what I have learned about this whole thing.
Yeah, philosophy is timeless. And it's really strange to me that I've ended up doing live radio 7 days a week or 6 days a week, and then we have one best of, because I have structured my life in a way intentionally and worked incredibly hard to be self-employed over, decades, to the point where, for the past 11 or 12 years, I've not had to get up for an alarm clock, and I work on my own schedule, and I work very hard. I work 80 hours a week at least, but I can do it whenever I want, which is really a joy to me, and I can do it at home. So then somehow, like, I decided I want to fulfill my last childhood unfulfilled dream of being on radio and worked really hard toward that. And now it's like, yeah, I have to get up to an alarm now, at least on the weekends. During the week, I'm usually up on the nighttime shows, but you make some sacrifices because you want to change the world and you want to get liberty out there to people. And I saw a niche of like, there's a lot of shows that are talking about liberty and freedom, but most of what they talk about is tyranny of look how our liberty and freedom is getting taken away. And the Freedom Fiends, we like to talk about that stuff occasionally, but we like to talk more kind of just about general interest or many specific interests. And one of them is podcasting. So, Nick, tell me about your experience with podcasting, why you wanted to do it, how you got into it, and what you're getting out of it.
Well, I've always wanted to help change the world. I've been part of the libertarian movement, and I really wanted to help out. I did a blog for a while, wasn't satisfied with how many people were reading it. So I decided, well, maybe I should start a podcast. I didn't really try to do it very hard until I called into your show and you gave me the mic. And
yeah, you want a microphone on the show. We were giving them away. I had like 4 of them and we were having contests for them, and I'd given away 3 of them, and I couldn't think of the next contest I wanted to have. And I said, the next caller who calls in, and we're not taking calls today and this is over, so don't call in. I said, the next caller who calls in, if they're a good person, if they're not some idiot caller like screaming at us, if they're a good person, they're going to get a free microphone. And you were the next caller, which is kind of neat. And I helped you out some too with getting up and running. I've actually been saving the emails I've been sending to you and to our friend in England, Bernie. I helped him get set up with a podcast too, with some audio tips and some tips on how to set up a website properly. It's not rocket science, but most people can't do it. Like somebody recently showed me their podcast, which was like, they worked really hard on setting it up and did all these like bells and whistles and flash intros and mouse over stuff. And it was like, yeah, but I can't find the audio on here, you know? It's like my thing is more like make a really stripped down basic, you know, WordPress blog, make sure you have an RSS feed, make sure you have a fave icon, make sure the audio is properly labeled and accessible, and like it says podcast in the name so people know it's a podcast when they go there and start looking for the audio and can find it immediately. It's not rocket science, man, but most people don't do it right, which is why I'm going to write this this Kindle book, The Freedom Fiend's Guide to Podcasting. We'll be back with more after this trip to the free market where you can buy yaks and liberty for Bitcoin and money and gold and silver.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. I steal your labor by force through taxation.
My job is to spy on you and keep you from hearing things like the Freedom Fiends. I especially do not want you to
torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to keep them drone-proof. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives. Do not go to freedomfiends.com and click on the torrent link and learn how to torrent Fiends archives.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Good morning, Alamogordo, and the rest of our listening audience on 25 stations in the United States. I think one in North Dakota leaks into Canada a little bit. I think that I know that radio waves do not respect laws and imaginary boundaries drawn by generals after tea the day after the war. All right, so we're talking about podcasting, and this is relevant, why you might say, as a listener, because the Freedom Fiends, this show, is the Liberty Broadcast School. It doesn't cost money. I should start charging money. It doesn't cost money, but it teaches the next generation of Liberty radio co-hosts to spread this good stuff of why governments are oppressive and they exist on theft, fraud, aggression, and murder. Literally, you know, we did an episode one time. You can go search this on the Freedom Fiends, of how governments break all 10 commandments all day, every day. Something like that. Search that and it'll come up. If you Google that, search Freedom Fiends, 10 commandments. And even if you don't believe in the 10 commandments, you probably believe in not murdering and stealing. I hope so. I hope you believe that if you're listening. But if you don't, keep listening and maybe you'll stop wanting to murder and steal. Because we're not down with murdering and theft and fraud and aggression and what governments do all day, every day. We're also not down with that on a personal level. You know, maybe there's some people sitting listening in prison from who are in there for murder or theft or fraud or aggression. And I hope they keep listening. Maybe that should be maybe instead of giving out buttons next time, maybe we should buy like little those little 99-cent AM radios with the little earplugs and try to get them to prisoners in prisons that are within the listening area of some of our affiliates. I don't know. I think they have to buy them at the commissary or something, because they probably think you're going to smuggle something in with them. But and they probably charge like $100 at the commissary for something that, you know, would cost 99 cents at the store. But I'd be willing to do that. I'd be willing to try to raise some money to buy stuff for people that can't get out. But, you know, if you're living in America, if you're living anywhere these days, governments are so oppressive that you're kind of living in prison even when you're sitting at home listening. And I find that podcasting and radio take me out of that prison and allow me to meet people around the world and talk into their ear holes. You know, I'm so into radio and podcasting and broadcasting that, like, I finally pretty much have the exact equipment that I would have bought if I knew then what I knew now, and if I had unlimited funds the day I started. Like, it's not the most expensive stuff in the world, but it's the perfect stuff, and it's what works the best. But even so, I still kind of like fetishize equipment. You know, I go on eBay and go on Amazon and go on Broadcast Supply Worldwide, and I look at equipment, and I don't buy it. I just look at it. Do you guys do that at all with anything?
I do that with knives.
With knives? You do that with farming equipment? Do you go to the ranch supply store and drool over things?
I love to go to Wilco and all those other farm supply stores. Yeah. I do love to do that.
I had never been to a ranch supply store until we moved to Wyoming, and we love to go to this one. It's called Murdoch's. They are not an advertiser, but I'll give a shout out to them. You can buy everything there. You can buy antibiotics there. You can buy bullets there. You can buy safes. You can buy all sorts of tack for horses. I don't know if they have a yak section, but, you know, probably do some of the stuff for horses and cows work for yaks.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of yakking, talk more about podcasting, Nick, and what it means to you and how you got into it and where you hope to take it.
Yeah, so I got help from you, and I got started. I have, like you said, a WordPress blog, and I'm on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn, all to the help of the Freedom Fiends. So I thank you guys for that. And I really wanted to get into podcasting because I wanted to help change the world. And writing is not a great way to do it. Making videos isn't a great way to do it. Audio is the best.
It can be. It can be if done right. But I just find that, you know, and I know how to do those things really well. I mean, I write books and make films for a living, or have in the past, and I'm still getting royalty checks from them. I'm really good at it. But I prefer spoken audio for the reasons that we mentioned of you can consume spoken audio while doing other things. It doesn't take your whole brain. So people are more likely to do it. And with podcasting, it's portable. You don't have to wait until a specific time of when it's on the radio. And we are on the radio. But, you know, I feel like the most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. And the first communication was spoken. You know, the first thing that proto-man communicated to other proto-man with was speaking before there was written language. Many, many long time before written language. And I feel like it's still the most powerful, you know, and when you're listening to the radio or a podcast, you feel like the person talking is talking to you. You know, it's the most absolutely direct personal form of communication. So I like it.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolf. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Yeah.
faculty and broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker.
And I was talking to young Nick, or Nick Hazelton, the Hazy Yak, our yak farmer co-host here, third wheel, training wheels on the radio. Not training wheels, that's insulting. But yeah, Garrett is one of our regular co-hosts here, and Nick is one of the co-hosts in training. He's going to be the one of the guys I go to when somebody cancels that's for now. That's how you get in the fiends. And I like having him on. He's smart. He's young. He's ambitious. He's a member of 4-H. And you know, there's a guy we hire who's about 17 is in 4-H here. We hire him to do yard work. That guy works so hard, man. I can't believe, like, I've hired people when I lived in California to do yard work. Hired kids from the neighborhood, and they're like, they complain a lot and text a lot and don't work all that much. Not all of them, but you know, that seemed to be the way of it. And I moved to Wyoming and I hired kids that were in 4-H. Man, they work hard. What is it about 4-H that teaches you to work hard, Nick?
Working with an animal is extremely hard, and it gives people a chance to actually make money on their own. I think that's part of it, is you learn that if you work hard, you're going to make money. Especially when you're raising the sheep, if you don't work with that animal, it's going to be terrible at fair, and you're not going to make a lot of money.
Yeah, and it is really refreshing to me to hear young people who want to work for a living, and not only want to work for a living, but want to like run their own work for a living, run their own company or organization or farm. You know, and there's nothing wrong with working for somebody else. I mean, there are people got to do it, but. I really like that capitalist idea of going out and building your own way. It's pretty rare these days. It's more common with young people in the tech industries. It's very uncommon, in my realm at least, in people doing physical labor. Do you know people that do that your age?
No, not a whole lot. There's a few of my friends that do like that idea, and there are some examples of people doing it. There was a recent case of some 15-year-old kid. He got rich off Bitcoin, and he started a tutoring website, which was neat.
Which is neat, but there's kind of already a tutoring website that's amazing and free. I don't really know if – I don't think he researched his market, and I'm not trying to condemn that kid. And, you know, Free Talk Live did a whole hour on him, and I think it was great. Whereas I wouldn't just do an hour on him. I'd try to interview him, you know, but – And we're gonna go to there's something I want to read here about I want to play some audio about some kids, some Boy Scouts who had a bad run-in with the government. And you know, it seems more and more that that kind of thing happens, where the government is basically building anarchists by being the government. They're basically teaching people not to trust the government just by doing what they do, and things getting worse and worse and worse. And it's kind of interesting to me that this was Boy Scouts. I'm having trouble getting the audio up here, so I'm going to explain what happened. There were some Boy Scouts that can you pigeon me this link here, one of you guys?
Yeah, I got it.
Yep. It was a situation where there were some Boy Scouts who were on a trip and not doing anything wrong, and the government ended up pointing guns at their head, which it's kind of interesting that they spun this story in a way that made it sound like you know, like the scoutmaster was like, well, and the Boy Scouts learned a good civics lesson here of you have to obey the government. And I'm like, that's not the lesson I think they're going to learn there. I think the lesson they're going to learn there is, you know, the government can do whatever they want and point guns at your head, and you have to comply or they'll kill you, which is basically how all governments work. I think it's a really good lesson for these Boy Scouts. It's unfortunate they had to learn it this way. But the more the government harms people and does things like this to people, the less people are going to take the government seriously, and the more they're going to just be against it. You know, a really good example is you know, the place the Black Power movement came out of in the 60s was blacks being disenfranchised by the Democratic Party. Like, basically they said, you know, they got all the votes, they got the delegates, they got people registered to vote, and then the government said, no, you don't get to play. The Democrats, LBJ, locked them out. And that led to, like, the Black Panthers and the Black Power movement, and eventually, you know, Obama being elected, who's, like, just like all the white guys in all the bad ways, but he's black, and that's what they got. They didn't get real liberty. They didn't get real freedom. And that same thing happened with Ron Paul. Like, the Ron Paul Republicans, and I was one of them, all got together and said, hey, we've got the votes, we've got the delegates, this guy can be in the fight. And the GOP said, no way, man. And then they changed their rules. They did the same thing the Democrats did in the 60s. And, you know, that's led to a lot of dissent and a lot of people just giving up on the political process, as they should. And some people talking about violence, which I don't think is a solution. And I think it's using the government's solution, and it's not going to work. It's not going to lead to freedom. But here's audio of a bunch of Boy Scouts. This is a news piece about the Boy Scouts' encounter with the government. The government said, here, Boy Scouts, have some government.
Central Iowa Boy Scout troop has just returned from a three-week trip that they will never forget.
About 10 days into the trip, an experience at the Canadian border into Alaska left them at a loss. KCCI's Marcus McIntosh joins us from the Mid-Iowa Boy Scout headquarters in Des Moines. Marcus.
Stacy and Kevin, a Boy Scout leader tells us that an innocent action by one of two dozen scouts ultimately set off a chain of events that led to a Border Patrol officer pulling his gun.
Jim Fox spells out what happened to him and the Mid-Iowa Boy Scout Troop 111 as four vanloads of scouts and adult volunteers tried to drive from Canada into Alaska. Fox says one of the scouts took a picture of a Border Patrol agent. He says that act spurred agents to detain everyone in that van and search them and their belongings.
Agent immediately confiscated his camera, informed him he would be arrested, fined possibly $10,000, and 10 years in prison.
Fox says he was told what the scout did was a federal offense. Not wanting things to get worse, Fox says he did not complain, but things did get worse. He says another of the scouts was taking luggage from the top of the van to be searched when...
Here's the snap of a holster, turns around, and here's his agent. Both hands, loaded pistol, pointed at this young man's head.
Fox says that had them all in fear. Ultimately, no one was hurt or arrested. And after about 4 hours, they were allowed to continue their trip into Alaska. When he thinks about what happened to them and the fact there are people streaming across the southern border, he is...
I am outraged by the fact that, you know, we have, you know, 18 Boy Scouts that want to come home. Yet, we have southern borders. We have all over our country, we've got border protection. But it's like a sieve.
Charles Vonderheim with the Mid-Iowa Council of Boy Scouts of America says Troop 111 learned a valuable lesson.
You want to make sure that they follow the rules, and Scout's a good citizen. And this would be a great lesson in civics for that young man and for that troop.
Now, the Scouts arrived home from their 23-day trip about 11:30 last night. Now, there were 17 other Scouts and three other volunteers on the trip. We reached out to them to see if they would talk to us on camera about what happened. As of news time, we have not heard back from any of them.
Oh, man. That guy saying that the Scouts learned a valuable lesson in civics is mind-blowing because, yeah, I would say they learned a valuable lesson that you can't trust the government and it wants to point guns at your head for taking pictures, which is something that Boy Scouts do on trips. I mean, you know, I was a Cub Scout. I left Boy Scouts shortly after becoming a Boy Scout. I was in the Cub Scouts for a while. My brother was an Eagle Scout. And, you know, it used to be scouting was like how young men learned tradition and learned, and it still is, and 4-H is also, but it's like, you know, you think about this, it's supposed to make you a good citizen. It's supposed to teach you the skills that you need to survive in the wild and survive in, you know, the city and in life and learn how to do things on your own and be self-sufficient. And you're out on a scouting trip and the government pulls a gun on your head for taking a picture. That is a weird world we live in. You ever have anything happen like that with you in 4-H, Nick?
No.
I have not yet. But you haven't, have you crossed any national borders in the 4-H yet?
No, I have never crossed any national borders.
Yeah, they say that in the United States now, I mean, the government actually says that 100 miles from any border on any side, Canada, Mexico, and, you know, the West Coast and the East Coast, that those borders are all, the 100 miles in from each border is a constitution-free zone, and that is the term the federal government uses. You know, they used to teach the Bill of Rights in Boy Scouts when I was in Boy Scouts, and I wonder if they do that anymore. And if they do, if these kids realized that their rights are being violated. Their legal rights in America are being violated by the actions of the government with this. And I don't think it's something you can fix. I don't think it's something you can't fix stupid. You can't fix an immoral system to work correctly. And I think people can rule themselves. And that makes me a radical because I don't want guns pointed at my head for being a peaceful person. Nick, what do you learn in school? What's the value of school today? And what are your plans with school?
I've learned that if you can take tests really well and you can memorize useless information, you can do very well. I'm a perfect example of people being able to slack off and still get A's.
Yeah, because you're smart and you understand the system.
Yeah,
you're kind of more self-schooled, right? Are you homeschooled also, or are you self-schooled also?
I'm self-schooled also, I would say.
You go to a charter school. What's a charter school?
Charter school, the way I basically I explain it is it's a mix between a private and a public school. The way it works is they have a school board for the charter school, and they have a charter with a school district. So or the regular school district would have an elementary, middle, and high school here in Oregon. But this school district that I'm in also has a charter school, which is separate from the rest of it, and they run on their own. It's like having a boating charter. It's your own boat.
Do you have to have better grades to be in the charter school or be smarter or more ambitious?
No. We have a maximum amount of people that can be in the school, but it's free admission. It's still a public-funded school.
And,
it's just run a little bit differently.
And your dad is into that you're podcasting, or has realized he can't stop it, and he's actually written me and thanked me for helping you out. So just so people know, this isn't like, you know, we're not getting you in trouble by having you on radio, and you know, your dad's into it. But what's the deal your dad has made with you, and what are your plans with school?
My dad has made a deal with me, and my mom might have to approve this too, but if I can build my own house with heat and running water, then I can quit school and make a living off yaks.
Wow. That's amazing. We'll be back with the redemption in the third act on the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker. And we were talking with young Nick, the yak farmer, our 15-year-old yak farming friend, about his plans. And he's told his dad that his dad has said that if he can build his own house, he can drop out of school, which I think is an interesting plan. Kind of reminds me of in the movie Fight Club. There's a scene where they're about to die in a car wreck, and one of the guys asked the guys in the back seat, What will you wish you'd done before you died? And one says, paint a self-portrait. And the other says, build a house. And building a house is something people used to do. It used to be a passage to manhood or young manhood, or, you know, before you could get married, you built a house. And people don't do that much anymore. I would recommend that instead of building a yurt or being set on a yurt, that young Nick looks at geodesic domes. Those are those things that are built with intersecting triangles and polygons, and they are the cheapest, strongest form of housing that you can build. They're not that hard to build. Maybe Garrett can draw up some plans for one for young Nick. on his computer-aided drafting software. Now, here's the thing. The guy who invented them, who invented geodesic domes, was Buckminster Fuller, who was a brilliant man and a great futurist. And he also, there's a quote from him that said, "The end move in politics is always to pick up a gun." And he said that in the 50s, and that's pretty brilliant. It's pretty true. And I met Buckminster Fuller on his 84th birthday. I went and heard him give a lecture in Chautauqua, New York, and went up afterwards, stood in line to shake his hand and thank him for his service because he was a brilliant guy and I really dug him. And there was a book I read back then that I found in the attic that belonged to my older sisters, my hippie sisters. It was a book called The Whole Earth Catalog. And I would recommend that people find that, even though it's really out of date. It's there were several editions of it. It was a big, thick book that had a picture of the Earth on the cover, taken from space. And it was a book on self-sufficiency and getting off the grid and living a life with better food and self-sustained food and growing your own food and raising your own meat. And it was a kind of interesting book to me because it was kind of for hippies by hippies, but it also had sections on guns and it also had sections on computers. And in the late 60s, early 70s, computers were something that were owned by corporations and governments that most people didn't have access to. And this book was calling for people to develop ways for the common person to have access to computers. And that was a really bold thought then. And that book kind of framed a lot of my view of the future, reading that book when I was 10 or 11 or 12. You know, I was born in 64. This is the early 70s. And I really think that that book, it was a bestseller. A lot of people had this book. I really think that book, not a lot of people figured this out, but I think I've figured it out, that led to kind of the crossover between the prepper movement, then the hippie self-sufficiency movement. And like, that's why you have all these people now who want to live on the land and raise their own food and drink clean water, but they also have guns, because a lot of the hippies didn't have guns, but the hippie that wrote this book was ex-military and he understood the value of guns for self-sufficiency and protecting yourself and getting your own food. So Nick, tell me a little bit more about your plans. I mean, most people would be like, you're going to drop out at 16. That's insane. But that might be a good movement if you're too smart for school. It's probably not a good idea if you're too stupid for school, because you're probably not going to even get a job sweeping floors without a high school diploma. But I think you're really smart and are learning more on your own than you would in school. And you have your dad's blessing that if you could build a house, you can drop out of school and teach yourself and raise yaks. So tell me a little bit more about those plans.
Yeah, so my plan is if I can start making money and I can build that house, then I'm going to be fine without a high school diploma. If I can do it, then that would be making a living. So what I'd like to do is before I decide to drop out, I'd like to start making money with the yaks and my other farming adventures and then build that house. And if I can live it there for a few months without too much hassle, if I like it and I think it's a good idea, then I'm going to do it.
That sounds like a plan, and it's a lot better than my plan. When I was 15 or 16, I was in class, and I walked out of class and went to the headmaster's office and called my mother and said, I'm dropping out of school. And she said, you march yourself right back there and go to class. Because we didn't have the resources then. We didn't have the internet. We didn't have the communication. We didn't have the ability to access the libraries of the world at our fingertips. And technology is bringing freedom, it's bringing knowledge, it's bringing education. It's also bringing flying robots that want to spy on us and kill us, but we're smarter than them, and we are right, and they are wrong. So we will survive, we will get by, and with people like Nick as the next generation, I have a lot of hope for the future. Thanks, guys. Give me a worms.
Worms.
Yaks.